I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line from SI.com, covers the LSU Tigers, Zach Nagy. Zach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Right off the bat, because we've had text about it, and sort of is a strange area to get a cramp, but any updates on Cade Anderson? Because, listen, as a guy getting up in age, man, you get stuff flare up on you that you didn't even know you had years ago. But Cade is a young guy in life. It seemed to be an odd spot to get a cramp. But, again, any more news other than what Coach Johnson spoke about after the game?
Yeah, first of all, Mike, appreciate you having me on as always. It's always a great time talking ball with you and Charlie, and kind of hitting the ground running here for Cade. Yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Pretty unique spot to catch a cramp, right? He was sitting there at the mound, couldn't really grip the ball, then went ahead and hit a 92 mile per hour fastball right there during his practice pitches. So he was clearly feeling right, but it just kept nagging on him over and over again. So he went back into the kind of the dugout, went and got evaluated, and the general consensus right now is that he's fine. That's what Jay Johnson said, and they're going to continue to monitor it moving forward. But like you said, a pretty interesting spot to get a cramp, right?
Yeah. But again, as I get up in age, you find out, man, things cramp on you that never cramped up before. So maybe a little bit of those 90-something mile-an-hour pitches got to him at that point. Would you be – it's kind of a two-part question here. Would you be surprised that Jay Johnson doesn't pitch Cade Anderson against the Gamecocks? That would be number one. And secondly, just the way it ended in dramatic fashion early Saturday morning seemed to set the tone for the weekend. You were able to 10-run rule a very good Arkansas team the next day, or the same day, I should say, just a little bit later in the day. And then yesterday what happened, but to win 2 out of 3 was huge. But first things first, the stuff about, would you be surprised if Cade Anderson didn't pitch against South Carolina? And secondly, to play at home in Alex Box is huge. So all concentration, no matter how bad the Gamecocks has been, is, hey, we got to go over there and win and maybe sweep them or win 2 out of 3 or whatever. But we can't let this team fall in the same rabbit hole that Texas A&M did against Missouri.
Correct, and you're right on the money, Mike. I mean, you go into this weekend knowing that Cade Anderson is dealing with that kind of issue, whether it's a fluids thing, he just needs to get more fluids in him, he's going to be A-OK, or maybe it's a little bit more, so you want to watch him, rest him, et cetera. So for me, I would not be surprised to not see him pitch. Will Jay Johnson go down that route? That's to be determined, of course, but it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. And then getting to the next part of your question is, yeah, you got to go out there and win at least 2 out of 3, I think, just to continue to keep your name in that top 8 overall seed conversation. You have been successful at home. We know that this program dominates in Alex Box Stadium for good reason. There's always a ton of juice there. They always thrive in those late game moments. So you want to be at home for both regionals and super regionals. So you got to go into this series and kind of have all hands on deck. Does that mean that Cade Anderson's going to be in the mix? Time will tell. But again, wouldn't be too surprised to see them kind of take things slow with him over the next couple of days.
One of the things in playing South Carolina and see what happened this year, and man, it's been kind of a fall apart team. And this was a couple years ago at a signing event. I was with Paul Maneri, and we got to talking after, you know, autograph stuff and everything. And he gave me every indication that he wanted to coach again. And it was funny to me. It sort of caught me a little bit off guard. I knew he had been troubled with a back issue. And you never really recover from that. Man, it bothers you all the time when you've got one. But when I asked him about, coach, it's the end, right? And he was like, not necessarily. He said, I still love to coach. I still love to be out on the field and developing players. He said, I'm not crazy about the NIL transfer stuff. But he said, you know, everything else, I really do miss it, not being involved. But to see how it's went this year with the Gamecocks, I don't think even he could have envisioned it would have been this bad for his baseball team.
Yeah, I think it's been a pretty difficult stretch for Paul Mainieri and company out there in Columbia. I think when you come into this new era of kind of recruiting where you got to pay to play, right? You got to go out and shell out some big bucks to get the top talent to your team. I don't think it was going to be a situation where they bounced back overnight with Mainieri at the helm. But certainly, Mike, you're right there on the money. I mean, it has been an abysmal season for the Gamecocks out there. So you're entering kind of that back end of the season. Now you're entering the final weekend of the season. And, of course, they're going to come out all guns a-blazing. They want to come out and show out for Paul, obviously, going up against his former team. But to keep it kind of straight on your question, it's been a pretty challenging season for that program, especially looking back on this past weekend as well. So not one that has gone accordingly for them, but they're going to come out this weekend, and obviously it's the SEC. Any team can win any given day. So they're going to come out this weekend, and LSU's going to have to be on their A game just to make sure that all things go right and take down a team that they should really handle business against, like you were saying.
Zach, you know, Mike brought up, obviously, Cade Anderson, who's been the ace all year long, but you know, on this LSU pitching staff, Anthony Ianson, over the last basically month and a half, has been unbelievable. He just puts up great start after great start after great start. Another excellent showing against Arkansas this past weekend after he threw a 9-inning complete game, one hit, one run against Texas A&M. And I went and did the math. I crunched the numbers a little bit. If you exclude the game at Auburn, which is a game that LSU lost, he had a poor performance where he gives up 4 runs in 5 innings there. In 6 of his last 7 showings, he's thrown 37 and a third innings pitch, allowed 4 earned runs and 65 strikeouts. That's against Mississippi State. That's against Oklahoma, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Arkansas. If you're talking about why we're so bullish on LSU's potential chances to make it to Omaha, having that second elite pitcher is so important, and they got it with Anthony Ianson.
No doubt, Charlie. I mean, again, crushed it on the numbers. Those are spot on. They're accurate. They depict how sensational he's been over the last couple of weeks, and obviously, when you're a transfer and you're upping your competition level into the SEC, it could always take a little bit of time to get into a groove. That might have been what happened with Anthony Ianson, and now we're here. He's in a groove. He's hot, scorching hot, I would say, at the right time, getting ready for postseason play. And he's that number two starter that you really want to see get hot at this time. You could argue that LSU has the best 1-2 punch of Cade Anderson and, of course, Anthony Ianson in all of college baseball. They've been sensational this season. Anthony has been red hot down the stretch, and we saw more of that this weekend. So to have him be clicking on all cylinders at this time and really, really tossing some good stuff is putting you in a really good spot moving forward with the SEC tournament nearing. It's hard to not be bullish on this team, Charlie. I think you're kind of nailing it right there. You're starting to see that dynamic pitching rotation, that pitching staff that you got. It's hard to not be excited about what the team can do, and it obviously starts with a player like Anthony Ianson who's clicking.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then, Zach, you know, one last one for you here. You know, Mike and I were talking about this earlier on in the hour that it feels like this LSU team just feels a lot more comfortable at the box, at the plate, specifically guys like Ethan Frye and Jake Brown, who had really big weekends against Arkansas this past weekend. But, you know, if you're talking about getting the top 8 national seed, which is so important because you have that quote unquote home path to Omaha, it feels like LSU is just tough to beat at the box, Zach. I mean, it's not many teams in regional play or even super regional that you could see coming into the box and taking, you know, a series in super regional or knocking them out in a regional.
Yeah, there's not that many teams, Charlie, that I see that could come into the box and handle business against LSU. And I don't want to kind of sunshine pump and really hype up this team too much, but they're the number one team in America. They're clicking right now. They're coming off of a tremendous series win over Arkansas. You're seeing Ianson really hit his groove. Cade Anderson, of course, we think he's going to be right moving forward as well. So you're seeing this team really click, and a lot of it has to do with their success at home too. So you let this team really, really get going and have them host regional and super regional, get that top 8 seed. it's hard to not sit back and feel really comfortable about the trajectory of the program in postseason ball. I'm excited to see where they can go from here, but you're spot on. I think if they can get a top eight seed and host, it's hard to not be bullish on what this team can do kind of in postseason play moving forward.
Zach, real quick, one last question. Hasn't been the greatest weekend for LSU football recruiting. Now, it's real early, and who knows what happens with players today, because that verbal commitment ain't worth the piece of paper that it was sort of written on. But I really thought they had a shot with Haywood Howard Jr. We talked a lot about him Thursday with Renee Nato, a big cover cornerback from Edna Carr. And the reason why I thought the door got open, Terry Joseph, who's from New Orleans and was at Texas, he was the one recruiting Howard, and then he joins the Saints. So it opened up the door for LSU, who, to be honest with you, maybe you can clear this up, Zach, I don't think they were heavily involved with Howard. And then all of a sudden they got in the ring to try to get him, and he decides to commit to Texas. And I know it's still early in the game, and then losing Ja'Kai, you sort of knew something was happening at receivers, because they're bringing in every wide receiver that they can bring in, that he would flip Ja'Kai Anderson from McDonough 35 going to SMU, and they do have money at SMU. But your thoughts on Howard, because I thought the door was wide open to grab him in the backyard, and he already got a commitment from, you know, the safety in Aiden Hall and Richard Anderson, the defensive nose guard.
Yeah, that the recruiting pipeline with Edna Carr is clicking right now. Obviously, Frank Wilson has busted that door wide open and has been just in constant communication with the players on that team. Obviously, players that have the SEC caliber to really shine with LSU. So you've seen them open up dialogue, extend offers, interest, et cetera. And then you look at a guy like Haywood Howard, who didn't receive that offer from LSU until a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, they got their foot in the door relatively early and became contenders down. And when I say early, early in spring ball. So they got in there, started to make a move, became serious contenders for him. And then he went and took a visit to Texas, and they really kind of wined and dined him and gave him that treatment that he was looking for. They've been a player in his recruitment for quite some time. Obviously, the Terry Joseph connection, like you said a second ago. But nonetheless, he felt at home there, and that's a team that really has been on him from the jump. But I think you're going to see LSU continue to keep their foot on the gas here, Mike. This is a player that's right down the road, that Edna Carr connection. And obviously, coming in the summer, there's going to be a bunch of camps. They want to get some verified numbers, some verified testing before actually, you know, letting him pull that trigger. So we'll see what happens there once he does get those verified testing numbers, et cetera. But right now, Texas holds that current commitment. We'll see what happens down the stretch, but it's a long ways out until he puts pen to paper. The Longhorns are building something special in that 2026 class. Obviously, Howard is a fantastic player, and they'd love to keep him. LSU is going to give him stuff to think about down the stretch as well. And then hitting on that last piece of your question, and Ja'Kai Anderson, man, they have three top 30 wide receivers committed to LSU right now, headlined by the number one wide receiver in America, in Tristan Keys. They have a fantastic core that they're working with, and you could see them look to add another player, that being a fourth wide receiver, in that 2026 haul down the stretch. So there are some names that are continuing to circulate there for them there, but Anderson's going to have a really good opportunity to get on the field early out there in Dallas with SMU.
Man, can he fly? I mean, I always tell this to Charlie. Speed never had a bad day in its life, and it didn't with Ja'Kai. Man, he can run, flat-out run. Zach, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, and always great insights on LSU baseball and a little bit of football at the end.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mike. Keep a good one.
Thanks so much. That was Zach Nagy, who covers the LSU Tigers for SI.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at 1-888-EAR-POD-1
on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.